Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the broadcast. The possibility of so-called same-sex marriage becoming a reality in West Virginia is closer than many think. The churches in West Virginia recognize the imminent threat that so-called same-sex marriage poses to religious liberty and to the institution of marriage, and the damage that it could bring to the very fabric of society. The Family Policy Council of West Virginia recently completed a survey of likely voters on questions about the definition of marriage. The poll makes clear that West Virginians want to define marriage for themselves. West Virginians overwhelmingly do not want Supreme Court justices to legislate from the bench and redefine marriage for us all. But unless we step up and take the initiative to protect the only proper definition of marriage, West Virginians will eventually be forced to suffer some consequences if the homosexual activists and gay agenda lobbyists and liberal litigation forces like the ACLU are permitted to continue their efforts unabated, efforts to redefine the very institution of marriage. Over time, I, as a pastor, have become convinced that the only way to stop this effort to pervert the meaning of marriage is to amend our Constitution. This is not a first resort, it is a last resort, but we are being left no alternative. We must have a constitutional amendment defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Listen to this message from the Family Policy Council of West Virginia.
Marriage began in the heart of God, and He designed it perfectly for one man and one woman, a husband, a wife, a family, the building block of every community, every culture, every race, every nation. Governments have recognized and uniquely protected marriage for more than 2,000 years, so families can pass life to the next generation. In West Virginia, however, there is currently no clear definition of marriage as only the union of one man and one woman. Yet, marriage has a public status, and in most states is protected in law. Marriage between a man and a woman is held up as the ideal in all of civilized society because of its profound stabilizing influence on our culture, as well as the important economic benefits of strong and intact families. But today, that ideal is under an unrelenting attack, and same-sex marriage in West Virginia is a closer reality than you may think. 30 states have already passed constitutional amendments defining marriage, but activists outside our state are aggressively targeting the remaining 20, including West Virginia, working tirelessly to redefine marriage away from God's design to favor the desires of adults over the needs of children for the naturally balanced model of a mother and a father. The push for same-sex marriage has produced an historical crisis for the church. Today, in courtrooms across the country, in decisions as recent as last month, our constitutional guarantee of religious liberty is going toe-to-toe with an aggressive social agenda. And religious liberty is losing. Judges in California, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Connecticut have arbitrarily redefined marriage and religious freedom. And virtually every area of ministry is coming under legal attack, threatening our ability to freely and legally follow the faith. Church daycare, faith-based marriage counseling, Christian adoption agencies, religious schools, Christian businesses, doctors, professionals, parachurch ministries, even the church, its clergy, and lay leadership. Each is a growing battleground for promoting same-sex unions against church teaching, even individual conscience, with the full weight of the law standing against the faithful. With alarming swiftness, these sweeping changes are moving from the courtroom to the classroom. In many schools today, teachers are being ordered to stop using the words mother and father, Father's Day celebrations are not observed, and the very concept of motherhood is abandoned to political correctness. Across the country, elementary school children are being taught to equate homosexuality with heterosexuality. And incredibly, a parent's right to object to this indoctrination is becoming legally impossible. In West Virginia, same-sex advocates could easily launch the state and its churches into legal chaos. They know that what was done in California was never intended to stay in California. A weekend trip to San Francisco for a West Virginia same-sex couple, plus a pro bono ACLU attorney, could easily become a nightmare for marriage in West Virginia. In fact, a currently pending same-sex adoption case here could effectively allow five unaccountable judges in Charleston to alter the biblical definition of marriage for all of West Virginia. It's time to legally define marriage now, before costly litigation makes it politically and practically impossible. West Virginians should define marriage, not judges under pressure to be progressive. West Virginians have an opportunity to take a stand for God's design, but only if elected officials will allow a vote in 2009. And West Virginians clearly desire to preserve the definition of marriage as one man and one woman in our state constitution. What's also clear is that to pass a marriage amendment in West Virginia this year, the church must lead. Pastors and their congregations must be willing and committed to defending God's design for marriage. Please pray about your active involvement at this critical moment in our state's history. Some of the things you can do include praying for marriage in West Virginia, meeting personally with your delegate and state senator. Share with them your concerns about religious freedom and the moral definition of marriage. Ask for their support to allow the people of West Virginia to decide on marriage, not unaccountable judges. Pray for them, and remember that it is the church's calling to speak truth to power, so power will speak the truth. Your involvement matters. Voting and involvement in the public square is central to being salt and light and bearing witness to the truth. 2009 is West Virginia's best opportunity to take a stand for God's design. The time to preserve the definition of marriage in our Constitution is now. One man, one woman. That's marriage.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph. So, what's so bad with letting them get away with this? What could eventually go wrong? Well, imagine a preacher that preaches against so-called same-sex marriage. Imagine him being legally forced, against his will, to perform a marriage ceremony for a same-sex couple, or else suffering litigation. Or imagine a church that believes what the Bible says about homosexuality and teaches against so-called same-sex marriage, being legally forced to grant membership to a same-sex married couple, or being legally forced to allow use of its facilities in a way that dishonors Christ and defies the Word of God. Or imagine the pastor of that church being arrested and tried for so-called hate crimes simply because of preaching his convictions. Imagine Christian business people being legally forced against their will to perform services for so-called same-sex married couples or else be sued for discrimination. The expensive legal battles might eventually be won, but they would consume tons of money and time and effort that we can save by acting now. And even worse, those expensive legal battles could be lost. Some argue that the Federal and State Defense of Marriage Acts, or DOMAs as they are so called, are strong enough. Some argue that they are a strong enough wall of defense. Sadly, my friend, this is not accurate. The Fed and state DOMAs will be no more effective at stemming the tide than the levees of New Orleans were at fending off the floods in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. In the state of California, we have already seen where Prop 22, which was passed over 8 years ago and which created a state law defending the traditional definition of marriage, was blatantly overturned by court judges who legislated from the bench and overturned the clearly expressed will of the people, saying that it was unconstitutional. The people of California were forced to amend their constitution to make it constitutional. We can and should and must act now to do the same. I urge you to contact our lawmakers in the state Senate and state House of Representatives. The longer we wait, the stronger the enemies of true marriage become. Recently, a meeting was held in Charleston, West Virginia, that was sponsored and organized by the Family Policy Council of West Virginia. In that meeting, many of our community leaders and religious leaders heard from a select group of ministers and lawyers and concerned citizens about why we need to act quickly to amend our Constitution to protect the traditional definition of marriage. Among those who spoke were two religious leaders from California. Both were influential in getting Prop 22 passed several years ago and Prop 8 passed just recently. One of them, Pastor Chris Clark of East Claremont Baptist, was here in person. The other, Bishop Harry R. Jackson Jr., founder of the High Impact Leadership Coalition, was heard live via a technology connection. Both of them joined with many others in speaking to encourage West Virginians to action. Here is what Pastor Chris Clark said during his time to address those gathered in our capital city.
I stand before you to bring witness of nothing less than a God-sized miracle that occurred in California. And many of you are more than aware of what has taken place, and your prayers were felt and they were heeded in this effort. A year ago, this time, there were precious few pastors in California that had protecting marriage on their radar whatsoever. We had been fighting this battle for a number of years. It culminated about 9 years ago with the passage of Proposition 22. Proposition 22 was a state law that defined marriage to be between one man and one woman. And yet the attacks on marriage continued. It was relentless. And it began to culminate in 2007 when the California Supreme Court said that they would hear the case for overturning Proposition 22. And it was in the fall of 2007 that some of us realized that in order to protect marriage, not just in California, but in the rest of the United States, we had to move, and we had to move quickly to get a constitutional amendment on the ballot in California and protect marriage. And that was a daunting task. I can't begin to tell you the number of obstacles. And the majority of them came in the form of our own state government. Every branch of our state government was against us. The executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And so when we began this task, we were told it was impossible. There is no way you're going to be able to gather 1.2 million signatures to get this on the ballot. There is no way you're going to be able to raise the money to fight this battle. There is no way you are going to raise up pastors across the state to stand for truth, to stand for righteousness, because we have been defeated so many times in California. And yet, we decided to go forward. We were convinced God was leading us this way, and so we went for it. We were able to see 1.2 million signatures be collected throughout the state. Proposition 8 was now on the ballot. We needed to get pastors aware, and aware quickly, of just what was at stake in their churches. We needed to let them know that the way they did ministry was going to radically change if same-sex marriage were to remain legal in California. We had to get the word out quickly. quickly, and so we chose a number of mediums by which to do that. One, we did a series of webinars and conference calls to link pastors up across the state. We had on some of our higher conference calls and webinars, the highest attendance we had was in excess of 3,000 pastors and leaders listening in, and we were able to convey a substantial amount of very important information to pastors up and down our state. We also worked in producing a series of simulcasts, and thanks to money that was given to that purpose, we were able to put together a number of satellite simulcasts that were broadcast up and down the state of California, giving pastors, leaders, and their congregations, as well as teenagers and students. We did three of these, and we were able to get information out about the impact of same-sex marriage and why protecting biblical marriage was so critical. We did that. We did a series. We had a number of email messages that went out up and down the state. In addition to this, one of the other things that we needed to do, second prong in that, was activation. People needed to get out and get out the vote. And so we worked to get people in churches to do two things. Number one, to contact every person on their membership database, contact them and ask them, A, if they're registered to vote, and B, how they were planning to vote on Proposition 8, and provide the vehicle by which every person would, A, hear about Proposition 8, and then B, be able to turn out and vote. That was one part of that strategy. A second part of that was then to actually get them to go out and turn out the vote. On election day, we had in California 100,000 people on the street actually going out and knocking on doors of the people of which we knew were solidly yes on 8 to make sure that they had turned out and voted. And without going too much into details because of time constraints, I want to pause there. But one other aspect of our overall strategy was prayer. That had to be the most critical part of the entire issue, of the entire campaign. We had to see God move in a great way. It was Miles McPherson that said this. The Lord told me, if we pray, we win. If we don't pray, we lose. And so knowing that and knowing what was at stake, the entire institution of marriage was at stake in California and ultimately in the rest of the nation. Jim placed a call to a man who's known to pray, who is known to lead a movement of fasting, and asked him to come and help us. More people voted in California for Proposition 8 than they did for Barack Obama and John McCain combined. That's the intensity. There was over 7 million people who voted in favor of Proposition 8, and that is a God-sized miracle. And to quickly wrap this up, it is our honor to be here. And Jim is here via this little iPhone of Jeremy's. That's great. And it's a privilege for me to be here because you are a part of our future. We are looking to you now to rise up and continue this historic journey. This is history making, where pastors across the nation now are rising up as they haven't done so in years and are taking a stand for truth and for righteousness. And we in California, we don't have the answers. Jim mentioned that. We were just simply there and God just happened to use us. But we want to come alongside you however we can. Be your cheerleaders. Be your go-to guys. If we can help in any way, shape, or form, we want to do that. But you have to hear our hearts. This is winnable, just as Jim said. And you may just win it by a couple of votes, but it's winnable. But what we will see is God do a tremendous work in West Virginia. And you are the ground floor. You are the core of this. And we look look to you, and I hope that you are excited about this journey. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be unlike anything you've ever encountered in your entire ministry. But I'm going to tell you the end result is worth it. You're going to see God do a work you've never seen Him do before, and it will astound you. And I want to encourage you that as you hear the rest of our speakers and as you hear the information that's shared, that you will allow the Lord to stir your heart, that it will be so contagious that when you go back to your churches, you go and stand in your pulpits, that your people will sense the urgency, the burden, and the passion that God has raised up in your heart as a result of today. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you, Jim, for joining us. Blessings on you. Thank you.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, was also on hand via technology to address the group.
No longer is it just no-fault divorce that threatens to undermine marriage and the future of our country and the stability of children and the home, but now we have activist judges who are trying to redefine the institution of marriage, and we have homosexual activists who are spurring them on. And public policy is important. It's not the end game, but it is an important part of creating the culture in which we live. And we've seen now in the state of Massachusetts, we've seen in California, now Connecticut, where judges have unleashed chaos upon their respective states and potentially the rest of the country. We're just one federal court decision away from seeing same-sex marriage imposed on states around this country. That's why it's important on two fronts to take the initiative to push forward marriage amendments in those remaining states that do not have them, so that, number one, protected from state judges who would likely impose same-sex marriage on you. You're protected from legislators who might do so. I don't think that's a great threat in West Virginia, but it is a threat in certain parts of the country. But secondly, we, as of November, have moved into what some are describing a new political era. We're moving into a time where evangelicals, Christians, are not so concerned about life and marriage and family. And I think it's important that we say, no, these are still fundamental building blocks for society, and we're still very much engaged and involved in these issues. And so I think for those reasons, West Virginia is, I think, strategically positioned to be one of the next states that pushes forward with a marriage amendment and continues this important discussion across the country that marriage and family is worth protecting. It's important. It's our future. And as the spiritual leaders, we're going to take a stand on this issue.
Some may think that it can never happen here, but it can. Listen to this brief message from Jeremiah Dice, president of the Family Policy Council of West Virginia.
You may be wondering today, why don't we have a marriage protection amendment in West Virginia already? After all, this is the Mountain State. This is the place where we value family above most every other institution in the world. You may also be wondering, do we really need one? Well, the answer to that last question is yes. Same-sex marriage is a closer reality in West Virginia than many people think. The fact of the matter is, it'd be very simple for us to be launched into a legal chaos if only one same-sex couple from West Virginia were to have gone to California, have gotten married during the time that it was legal there, and now come back and ask a court to recognize that relationship. The threats that that poses to your ministry and to the institution of marriage in general, I don't need to go into to you. But let me answer the first question as well. Why don't we have a marriage protection amendment already here in West Virginia? I think the answer to that is this. The greatest obstacle to defending marriage in West Virginia may just be that there is too much support for marriage in West Virginia. That's right. The greatest obstacle to defending marriage in West Virginia may just be that there is too much support for marriage in West Virginia. You see, we are in the Mountain State, and many people think that kind of thing is never going to come to West Virginia. But that creates apathy, creates complacency, and it creates an attitude of, we don't need to work for this. But again, the truth is, same-sex marriage is a closer reality in West Virginia than many people think. Today I want to ask you to do four things. I want you to pray, I'd like you to talk, I'd like to ask you to give. I'm going to ask you to recruit. Pray, talk, give, recruit. First, would you pray for strong marriages and pray for your involvement in and how you can be involved in defending marriage as the institution of one man and one woman here in West Virginia? Pray for strong marriages in West Virginia and pray for your elected officials as they face these tough decisions, including the one to define and defend marriage in our state. Second, I'd like to ask you to talk. Would you consider writing or even better, picking up the phone and calling four of your legislators and telling them that you want to define marriage as the institution of one man and one woman? You can tell them that a recent poll has revealed that between 73 and 80% of West Virginians want to define marriage for themselves. Our legislators ought to let them do it. People of West Virginia should be the ones making this decision, not judges. Third, let me ask you to give. Would you consider just giving $4 to the cause to define marriage in West Virginia? You can do that at wvformarriage.com, wvformarriage.com. And finally, I'd encourage you to email or call or talk to as many friends as you have, maybe some other pastors in your area that don't know about that website. Bring them to that website or email them a link to wvformarriage.com and encourage them to go to that website, find out more about the efforts to define marriage in West Virginia, sign up by going to Stand for Marriage on that website and signing their email into that list there. That way we can communicate with you and with them. Look, remember, same-sex marriage is a closer reality in West Virginia than most people think. All that it takes is just one same-sex couple having gotten, quote-unquote, married in California during that time, coming back here now to West Virginia and demanding that a court recognize it. And pretty soon, we might find ourselves waking up one morning to the news that five judges in Charleston had made the decision that we should have made in the first place. I encourage you today, go to wvformarriage.com, wvformarriage.com, and stay involved.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph. We've been discussing the threat of so-called same-sex marriage becoming a reality in West Virginia. It's closer than many think. Again, churches in West Virginia are recognizing the imminent threat that so-called same-sex marriage poses to religious liberty and to the institution of marriage and to the fabric of society itself. I urge you to log on to wvformarriage.com. That's wvformarriage.com. Once there, you can read up, get prayer information, and find the details for how to contact your representatives in the State Senate and State Congress, and find a path for donating to the cause. We need you. West Virginia needs you. Our future generations, if the Lord should delay His return, will either benefit from our actions today or suffer because of our inaction. Again, the Family Policy Council of West Virginia recently completed a survey of likely voters on questions about the definition of marriage. Their polling data makes clear that West Virginians want to define marriage for themselves. West Virginians overwhelmingly do not want Supreme Court justices to legislate from the bench and redefine marriage for us all. But unless we step up and take the initiative to protect the only proper definition of marriage, West Virginians will eventually be forced to suffer some terrible consequences if the homosexual activists and gay agenda lobbyists and liberal litigation forces like the ACLU are permitted to continue their efforts unabated, efforts to redefine the very institution of marriage. Now, I've always advocated that the government that governs closest governs best. And at first, I was not a strong supporter of a constitutional amendment to protect marriage. I just simply trusted that the Fed and state domas were enough. I felt that a constitutional amendment was overkill. But over time, that hope has been crushed. And now we are seeing clearly that a constitutional amendment is a must. As a pastor and citizen, I'm convinced that the only way to stop the strong efforts of the gay agenda crowd, the only way to prevent them from perverting society away from the established and godly meaning of marriage, is to amend our Constitution. Again, this is not a first resort. It is a last resort, because we are being left no alternative. We must have a constitutional amendment defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.